Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Lauren Brown from the Catholic Foundation. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Great to have you. Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we just ask that your Spirit be upon us and renew our hearts this day. Help us in our identity as beloved sons and daughters of you, O Father. Strengthen us and encourage us this day through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Lauren, I'm sure many of our listeners are somewhat familiar with you and the work of the Catholic Foundation. But as with all guests, we like to hear your story, kind of how you've come to know the Lord, maybe how you've encountered him in the course of your life. So you grew up in a Catholic home in Michigan, is that right?
In Toledo.
In Toledo. Oh, okay.
Which might feel like a little bit of Michigan.
The wrong side of the Toledo War,
yes.
I guess. Yeah. So how did you come to know the Lord in your life?
Well, great question. I want to first start by saying thank you for the great work you do in this program. And it's just a gift that you bring to the airwaves for us to listen to. You know, as a cradle Catholic, I would say I feel like I'm always on a journey of learning more about this relationship with our Lord and with Christ, and just I think that the journey is by reference of people I grew up with, and so of course my parents. I didn't really get to be with my grandparents; they had passed before I was born. I'm the last of eight, so but I know that through stories in the living room, which I think is a great place to grow up and hear about our faith. I know from stories of my grandparents on both sides that the Catholic faith was very strong in their lives. I often talk about my grandfather on my father's side. You know, he did a lot in his work as a farmer and grocery store owner to really help those in need. And he worked a lot with priests and pastors to make sure in the parish the needs were there for people. And this is, you know, tough times in the 20s and 30s and things like that. But then my parents and their stories. But at the end of the day, I think it was references of, as I think back now, saying the rosary with my mother at night before going to bed, you know, always going to Mass as a family. You know, being an altar boy to this day, you know, I think just living out our faith, but you don't realize it as a cradle Catholic because you just, that's what everyone does, right? Well, as I've looked back and as I have been on this journey, I would say then you become more intrigued. I want to know more about that. And then I'm blessed because I meet a Catholic girl in high school. And she really, Stacy, my wife, she really helps me root us in our Catholic faith, too, as our family starts. So this getting to know the Lord has been one of reference. It's been one of learning through Catholic elementary, high school, and colleges, Catholic colleges. And so you put all that together, and then we are raising our family. You know, we're going to Mass. We're celebrating the sacraments. We're praying before meals. We're doing the things that grow us in our faith. But then again, you're looking at that and you're saying, well, shouldn't we be doing that? You know, you're cradle Catholic. That's the way everyone does things. And then you realize, no, we're not really deepening our faith. We're not learning more about our faith. We're not building that relationship with Christ, with our Lord. And so personally, I've done that on my own as well, and I've continued to do that, and I will continue to do that until till my days end here on earth, because I think we have to continue to just learn more about our faith. So anyway, my journey is what it is today, but it will continue. I love it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Lauren Brown. Lauren, what really struck me is, you know, the story of faith of a family, you know, and how your family shared kind of the stories of your grandparents, which you you did not know them very well at all, but their story of faith. And you know, it really reminds me from my own life. You know, I did not know I knew my grandfather, or I didn't know one of my grandfathers. He had died before. But, you know, the Streitenberger family had been Catholic when they came from Germany. But my great-great-grandfather had married a Lutheran, and all the girls were raised Lutherans, and all the boys were raised Catholics. But he never really practiced the faith, so the boys never really got it. So then my great-grandfather married the daughter of a Methodist minister, and basically was a Methodist. And so, like, the Catholic faith had died out in the family. And then this priest, Monsignor Kruskamp, and I'm this man was probably dead 30 years before I was born, but I know his name. He stopped by the family farm one day because he heard they had been Catholic. And he not only did he bring my great-grandfather back into the church, but my great-grandmother and her father, who was a Methodist minister, he converted. And that, you know, the faith was preserved. And that story, you know, I can remember my father telling me that story multiple times. Mm. And I think this idea of, you know, faith is not just our own personal journey, but it is of our family.
It is of our family. And, you know, I don't know if you know, I'm a genealogist, been doing it for many, many years. And our family during Reformation period, my 12th great-grandfather was executed for his Catholic beliefs. My grandmother at the time had three boys. One became my 11th grandfather, obviously, but they came over to the New World in 1639 and landed in Salisbury, what is now Salisbury, Massachusetts. Well, they came over as, pilgrims, if you will. They formed Congregationalism. They formed as a congregational family at that time. She was without a husband, but the community there in Salisbury, very tight-knit Congregationalists. And so we were no longer Catholic at that point, but none of them knew that in terms of the sons, her three boys. Now, they made their way as the country opened up through Massachusetts into New York and into Ohio. And by 1854, we're still not Catholic. Our family lands on Lake Erie and near Toledo. And at that time, a cholera takes place. And this is now my fourth great-grandparents. They have eight children and all die from cholera in 1854, except one. The eighth one is still in the womb of my grandmother. Hmm. So she somehow escapes that area. He's born. He marries a Catholic, and we convert back to Catholicism in our family. So you're right. It's so deep in our families and where that comes from. And then what do we do to carry that on? And so part of my journey to your first question was, I love how we have come, like you, your family has, and come back into Catholicism. And I want to make that stronger going forward. So our offsprings, our children know, and our grandchildren know that history, and also know why. Why do we love this faith? What has it done for us? So I think, I said earlier, I think it starts in the living room and around the kitchen or dining room table, mm-hmm. talking about these things and what we love about our faith. Going to Mass, wonderful, beautiful, but really living it out and telling those stories is so important for our families.
Yeah, and I think, as we all know, that the interconnection of family and faith. And, you know, we receive the faith often, most often, it would seem. And I think if you pulled everyone I've had on this show, I would say 75% of them were cradle Catholics. You know, they received the faith from their family, and they took personal ownership of it, which we always have to kind of emphasize, is the need to take personal ownership. But we also know that the family is the best way to hand it on. And to really, as we hand on our family traditions, we also hand on the faith itself.
Maybe you could comment on this then, because one of your brother priests said to me, Father Dave Sizemore, we talk a lot about these kinds of things. He said, well, Lauren, you're the priest of your home. You're the priest of your family. What does that mean to people?
Because yeah.
I understand what he's saying.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, well, one, we say that parents are the primary educators of their children, but I think especially the role of a father to leading his family in prayer. And as you said, you know, it's not just sort of these little activities, prayer before meals, going to Mass, maybe going to confession once a year or once a month together. But it's really as the priest of the family, the father, is there to teach the children the faith, and to make sure that, and not just in the sense of imposing truths, but to really accompany them as they wrestle and take possession of that faith for themselves, you know.
I feel that's my role.
Yeah.
You know, in this faith, I feel that's my role, is to, like you said, not to, you know, dictate and be so determined to tell someone what to do and how to be a child of theirs, but to really live it out and to be an example of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Lauren, for joining me.
Oh, that's, again, I love your program. I love what you do for our diocese, and I love listening to you. You do a great job, Father.
Well, thank you. And let us end with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of faith which has been handed on to us. We give you thanks for our own personal encounters, which has allowed us to take greater ownership of this faith. Strengthen and renew us through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. With me today has been Lauren Brown, and I am your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Until next time, peace and all good.